A 15-member rescue team arrived in Japan on Sunday from China. They brought with them 4 tons of equipment for search and rescue operations, including their own power supply, their own telecommunications system. And the Chinese government has said they stand ready to offer more help, as much as Japan needs. Joining us now is James Fallows. He's a national correspondent for The Atlantic and currently in Beijing. Although, James, I understand you lived and worked in Japan for a period of time as well.
Yes, I lived there for a couple of years, but it's been a while. I've been through some earthquakes there, but of course nothing like this, since Japan has never seen anything like this.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the response from China. They were one of the first nations to actually get a team on the ground, having arrived just Sunday. And the premier came out and said they're ready to offer whatever else help that they need. Is Japan ready to request more aid from China?
I think that the background here, which is worth spelling out, is how much free-floating ill will there usually is on the Chinese side towards Japan. And that's why it's been so striking in the last couple of days to see both official and popular expressions of sympathy, support, brokenheartedness, willingness to cooperate with Japanese, even admiration. Again, those may sound trite or trivial from the rest of the world, but it is a surprise here. And there have been internet themes and the rest of some people sort of gloating at Japan's difficulty. The predominant theme has been both sympathy for Japan, as the rest of the world is manifesting, and also some admiration for all the stoicism, order, et cetera, the Japanese are showing.
Explain to me this admiration that you're talking about. This is occurring in coffee shop conversations or in blogs? What are you talking about?
So in a country this vast, one sampling is always incomplete. But just from surveying over the last hour or so, Chinese news accounts, Chinese blogs, and talking with people I know, there's been a sense also in editorials in the Chinese language newspapers of saying, look how the Japanese are behaving in these circumstances. And the contrast here is the Sichuan earthquake of almost 3 years ago, which was so devastating in China, where 100,000 people or so were killed. And where, while there, the sense of how can it be the Japanese are being both so stoic and so well prepared. One particular thing which has been much remarked on here in China is that instantly the Japanese had helicopters everywhere. Now, the real-time footage we're seeing of this tsunami coming through is from all those helicopters that were on the scene. And many, many thousands of people died in the Sichuan earthquake because there was no relief system, no helicopters, et cetera, to get people in there. So there is this sense, both in editorial pages and newspapers and blog sites and otherwise, of look how the Japanese are dealing with this circumstance.
So do you think this will have actually some real changes in terms of the diplomatic relations between China and Japan?
It's difficult to know. A real sort of mystery to me, having lived in Japan initially during the 1980s and having come to China in the first time then, which was that much closer to World War II and that much closer to all the source of ill will between the countries, is how much higher the level of general anti-Japanese sentiment seems to be in China now than it was a generation closer to World War II. So it may be that this is the kind of emotional symbol that can have some effect on changing popular will among especially young people in China towards Japanese, and showing the degree of the hardship and also the way they're coping with this tragedy.
James Fallows, a national correspondent for The Atlantic, currently in Beijing. Thank you so much, James.
Well, let's take that.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Let's take that intriguing thought from Jim Fallows and put it to our next guest, Kaz Fujimoto, who's a store clerk at Katagiri and Company, a Japanese grocer here in New York. He's originally from Yamaguchi, Japan. He's lived here in the United States for 12 years. And you've been describing to us all morning how conversations have been taking place in stores and coffee shops throughout New York about people reaching out to find loved ones, that sort of thing. The Japanese, certainly since World War II, are known for this sense of independence, of a sense of we're going to go it alone. We can handle this without a lot of help from the world. This is a moment where that identity maybe is being shuffled a little bit. You heard what James Fallows said, that perhaps the angst and enmity towards Japan among the people of China might be changing. Do you think this shakes up Japan's relationship with the rest of the world? What's happened here?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, first of all, we just appreciate other nations being so compassionate about, the disaster, and we just appreciate it.
And this sense of being prepared, the idea that the Chinese have this admiration that the Japanese had so many helicopters in the air to help people. I mean, we see it because of the pictures. The right. helicopters give us the pictures. But you know those helicopters were also a lifeline.
Right. But how many people can save? And I mean, how many people can be saved by one helicopter? Only three. While 300s are still, on top of the building waiting for support. So it's you cannot be totally prepared for this.
There's no way to be prepared.
No way to,
for this.
Yeah.
What have your family members said as you've contacted them back home about what it's like in Japan right now?
Wow, it's like the whole nation's watching TV like old time. It's just heartbreaking. I just got an email from my mother this morning, and she just said the same thing. And just said, we just watch TV. I mean, what can we do? Maybe just make a donation, but nothing much can be done right away.
And anyone in Japan knows that the situation in the Northeast, in Honshu, could be them, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yes.
Even you?
Yes, yes.
Well, let's recap the top story this morning. A nuclear emergency taking place in Japan at least three nuclear power plants as officials struggle to prevent a total meltdown in Fukushima Daiichi, the facility most affected. Also, the death toll rising now as the scale of the disaster from Friday's earthquake and tsunami becomes clear. Officials counting the death toll now in the thousands, possibly the tens of thousands. Kaz Fujimoto is a store clerk at Katagiri & Company, one of the voices helping us to understand what's going on in his country. Stay with The Takeaway, full coverage all morning long. Kaz, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.